Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely terrific day today. It's actually really nice weather. It stopped raining, so it's been sunny down here in Florida, which is fantastic. I hope the rest of everybody else's weather is doing equally as well today. How are you doing today, Ben?
Austin, doing great down here in South Florida. Weather's perfect out here. It's probably 60 degrees outside, clear blue skies, minimal chemtrail activity. It's kind of neat. I'm heading down to Miami today. I don't own a boat, but I like to look at boats, and there's a big boat show down here in South Florida, so I'm going down to that for the weekend. So looking forward to having some fun. Haven't had a day off in quite a while with Sharon, so we're actually looking forward to the weekend. By the way, there's so many stories to cover this morning. Cory Booker, gay rumors show left's plan to elect homosexual president Brian Fisher. This is the article by. Now, here's what's interesting by this article. This is quoting the Huffington Post, which is a super liberal gay rag. And it says the American Family Association's Brian Fisher fired back at Newark Mayor Cory Booker on his Focal Point radio show, suggesting Booker's response to social media inquiries about his sexuality had bigger implications, calling Booker's response a tacit, if not almost illicit, admission that he is a homosexual. Fisher said they're going to be grooming him for the first homosexual president of the United States. Now, people have known for years that, Booker's basically gay. He loves going to gay weddings. Fisher's remarks were pointing to an interview Booker gave this week to the Washington Post. Booker, who's also a U.S. Senate hopeful, said that he'll be seeing him on Twitter. When someone says, I'm gay, and I say, so what does it matter? If I am, so be it. So basically he's admitting to it in a sort of a soft kind of way. Meanwhile, Booker's Republican challenger, Steve Logan, also had a curious response to the interview, calling the Newark mayor's statement kind of weird before adding, as a guy, I personally like being a guy, which imagine that nowadays. Interestingly enough, other right-wing pundits have made similar speculations about President Barack Obama's sexuality. Here it comes, guys. Here we go. Get ready for the gay canyon. Major release here, Huffington Post. In 2012, Tea Party author and conspiracy theorist Jerome Corsi, they've got to put their conspiracy theorist, who reportedly worked as a gossip columnist in Chicago during the Obama years, alleged that the president was actively involved in the city's gay bar and bathhouse scene. We're talking about the gay canyon now. Now, here's the quote. If you just hang out at these bars, the older guys who've been frequenting these gay bars for 25 years will tell you these stories. Of course, he told WND at the time. Obama used to go to the gay bars during the week, most often on Wednesday. And they said he was very, very much into older white guys. Of course, we all know this from his high school and college years. In News with You's broadcast in May, Coach Dave Dobermeyer, my friend, asked, how about he come out and admit he's the first openly gay president, or better yet, openly bisexual president? He goes on to note that Obama's face seems to really light up when he begins to talk about the gay agenda. Well, this show is going to take a little bit further. Why don't we talk about what appears to be between Michelle Obama's legs and all her little silk dresses that she wears. So, guys, Joan Rivers said he was gay. Michelle was a transgender. I mean, I don't know. This is like old news to the conservative talk show media groups. The mainstream media won't touch it because they don't want to touch it, because they don't want you guys to know. The mainstream media doesn't want the general population to know that just maybe they were hoodwinked into putting a homosexual into the White House. Now, here's the deal. I don't care if Barack Obama's gay. I've told you that 100 times. That's between him and God. I don't agree with that lifestyle. I'm diametrically opposed to it. I find it, quite frankly, I find it just repugnant and repulsive. But here's the thing. If that's what he is, that's what he is. My whole thing is I don't like it when they hide and they lie behind the fact that they want everybody to believe they're straight. If they want to say, hey, look, guys, this guy's gay, he's gay, and he admits it, whatever, who cares? Let the population decide if they want to put a gay guy in the White House. Who cares? If they want to put a gay guy in, I mean, they put gay guys in Congress now and gay guys in the Senate. I mean, it depends on these liberal states. It's just so very, very important that we know who these guys are. But remember, the same gay agenda is this inclusive agenda that's been pushed by the left-wing media and socialism for so long. It's something that we need to be aware about. In fact, this is the same agenda, which brings up the next story. trafficker of child sex slaves admits to killing hundreds of children. Now, you say, how in the world can you segue that from being gay? Well, I'm not saying all the gay guys agree with this. I'm saying this is the left-wing media with a promotion of abortion. If they'll kill a child on the table that's an 8-pound baby, that's a pretty, I'll be honest with you, that's pretty hard to do. That's a big child. You know, if they'll do that and just absolutely commit this unbelievable atrocity and murder, it goes to the next level. Trafficker of child sex slaves admits to killing hundreds of children. Gosh, this is going to be a little bit hard for kids that are listening right now, so you might want to go ahead and just, you know, basically back off this with children if they're listening. In a video from his Extreme World documentary, Kemp tracked down and interviewed Mr. Khan, a child trafficker in India who is being investigated for over 25 different offenses. Khan said he's been trafficking for 7 years, and he has trafficked 3,000 to 4,000 young girls, maybe more. He goes to poor communities, often in Muslim or tribal areas, and looks for real beauties. The girls are auctioned off to the highest bidder. The most Khan got for a sale was 1 million taka, the currency of Bangladesh, which is equivalent to about $10,000 in U.S. currency. Kemp asked if it's true that Khan has sold as young girls as young as 9 years old for sex, which the man replies to, I've sold girls who are 12. This goes right back to what Pastor Mark Rutland said on our show last year. Kemp then asked Khan if he's ever returned any of the children of the communities, to which Khan replies, no. Kemp asked the following question, if it's true that Khan kills the children that he cannot sell. Khan's reply, quote, if they try to run away or if there's any trouble selling them, they are killed and buried. If our bribed police can't handle it, then we kill the girls. We don't count them. There's about 400 or 500, I'm telling you the truth, that they've murdered. You know, guys, I don't know what to say about this, but this doesn't surprise me. When the left says we will take children out of their mother, 8-pound baby, and kill it, and it's okay, why would they care if they traffic girls? And then they come up with this Me Too movement. This left has done this, by the way, that everybody who's a sexual predator, blah, 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 any straight white guy who's ever gone out and asked a girl for a date now has to get written permission, I guess, to have a date, you know, in writing, notarized, or else they're a sexual predator. I mean, the left is so just absolutely, the hypocrisy knows no bounds. They will promote every leftist agenda there is, and then they try to come in with a Me Too movement that's supposed to be, oh, wow, we're going to be all these people to all these places, and we're going to come after all of these sexual predators, and yet this is the same group that's openly allowed for all of this abortion. And as far as I'm concerned, and I believe the segue allows it, to go in and do this sex trafficking. Remember, the Muslims have different rules and laws. That's the left is worshiping Muslims now. And they're basically coming in and they're saying, hey, look, you know, we can have children and we can use them for sex, and it's okay. The Talmud even says they can have sex with children for as young as the age of 3. I mean, these people are not Christians. We've got to get that. And it's important that we understand that if they're not Christians, they're not dealing with Christian values. I mean, people say, well, I would never do that. I'm a Christian. Okay, I got that. I wouldn't do that either. I'm a Christian. Even if I wasn't a Christian, I got to realize that there's a God out there, and God really doesn't want us being involved with any of this stuff. This is just a major, major mess that we've got to look at and understand that this isn't going to go away. This is going to continue to get worse and worse and worse until, as Genesis chapter 6 and as Jesus said, until every thought of every man is evil as it was in the days of Noah. Wow. What do you think, Oz?
There's definitely some crazy stuff going on, and that's why it's so important to make sure everybody wakes up to a lot of these things that are happening and do the best we can to essentially resist them. I've seen now an article from Breitbart. They said 29 of New Mexico's 33 sheriffs, so 29 out of 33 of the sheriffs in New Mexico have now signed a statement against red flag gun laws, universal background checks, and gun storage laws being pushed by New Mexico's Democratic lawmakers. Lee County Sheriff Corey Helton went out and saying, he goes, you're simply taking guns out of law-abiding citizens' hands. This is not going to affect the criminals out there. They're going to be able to get guns, and they do not follow the law. The reason why I brought this up is because we're starting to see a trend now where even a lot of the sheriffs are not supporting these red flag gun laws. We've had multiple states, I think 14 states now in the country, go about this. And the reason why I'm bringing this up and the reason why this segues into what Dad was saying, since you asked, is the thing that they're going to start doing next, and we've already seen this, is with the red flag gun laws, they have such a open book almost to seize firearms, as we've already seen now that literally thousands upon thousands of these red flag gun laws have been issued to individuals in the United States just in the last year alone, is that they're going to slowly start criminalizing any type of speech that they don't like by saying it's hate speech. As we've seen in multiple literature that they've written in the red flag gun laws, essentially if you say something that can be deemed as hateful or you do something that somebody says you may be a threat to someone, they essentially have the right to come take your firearms. And this is where it's going to start headed, especially along the lines of this transgender, LGBTQ, PQRS, whatever you want to call it, movement that they're trying to do. Because we've seen for so many years now, they're trying to literally criminalize free speech by saying, you can't say that. If you say something about that person, or you say you don't believe or you don't agree with their homosexual values that they carry, that's basically hate speech, and you need to be arrested for that. We've seen numerous people come out and say that now. It needs to be an arrestable offense. Well, it's going to go a next step further. Once they start deeming these things hate crimes, they're going to start using those as an excuse to come in and start taking individuals' firearms. One person that apparently they rubbed the dust off him, shook him off, and brought him back down the limelight. And I'm going to tell you why I think so and a reason right here. This is an article that came out on Tuesday. I didn't get to bring it up yesterday because I didn't have enough time. Gun control advocate David Hogg is essentially back out of his hole that he's been sleeping in for the last couple months and was now interviewed on NBC on Tuesday stating that self-defense is not a legitimate reason to own a popular rifle like an AR-15. Well, we already know all that. Well, he goes on to take it a step further. As you guys know, Hogg, along with the other March for Our Live affiliate individuals, introduced a ballot initiative in Florida calling for basically the red flag gun law and pushed for those to be to be implemented. They are now pushing for a new ballot initiative to remove assault weapons off the street. And here's what he says next. And not only is this completely inaccurate, but it shows you what their next plan is. Remember, listen to what people say and they'll tell you what they're really trying to do, the real meaning behind it. This is what Hogg says, and I quote, "The truth of the matter is this. Weapons like the AR-15 have an effective range of over 1,500 meters. That is false. I wish Snopes would call him out on that. He goes on to say, if you're using any weapon with an effective range over 1,500 meters, you are not defending yourself. You are hunting a human being, and no civilian needs to have their hands on military weapons that have that type of range." Whoa. Now, first off, anybody that understands ballistics or rifles understands that the effective range of an AR-15 is 600 meters. That is it. There is no long-range AR-15 that will ever reach out to 1,500 meters and have any type of notable effective hit when it contacts with its target. Even if you say, well, he referred to an AR-10 platform, which is a 308, effective range on a 308 is only about 1,000 meters. These guns are not pushing over 1,500 meters. If you've ever been behind the scope on a range and you've pushed something out past 1,000 meters, you understand how long that is. That is an incredibly, insanely long shot. And you have to start going into 338 Lapua, 417, 50 BMG. You're not making a 1,500-meter shot with a 5.56, just flat out. So this is inaccurate. He knows it's inaccurate, guys. So in my opinion, the only reason he's bringing this up here right now is this is going to be the next thing that's added in to the gun regulation. Any firearm that has an effective range of so many meters, any firearm that can be used to shoot somebody at a certain range. Well, the problem is that's a very broad topic and a very open-ended addition to that. And not only that, understand that a lot of times when this little swamp rat comes out of the hole that CNN hides him in, there's something else that's probably about to happen. So be aware, more than likely, there's probably about to be some other false flag shooting with an AR-15, maybe a long-range shooting, maybe another school shooting, I don't know, not trying to be negative, but the fact that he's coming out with this stuff just like he did before with all the other info tells me that there's something in the books they're about to cook up for another gun grab, and the fact that he's coming out with this rhetoric saying AR-15s have over a 1,500 effective range is fully ignorant, but it tells me that he's trying to prep the American population for a new gun bill that more than likely is going to be trying to push through this year if we have another false flag, Dad. But that's just my opinion.
Well, I can tell you one of the things going on, and Brad sent me this morning, and Brad, so many people send me so much information, and Brad's one of the best. I mean, he constantly sends me stuff I'm not finding anywhere else. Our governor, DeSantis, he wants a grand jury to investigate the school shooting down in Broward County. I mean, he's had enough.
Ooh.
I mean, this is what Hogg's coming out for right now. The Hogg has crawled out of this hole because of this. Fort Lauderdale saying that parents remain frustrated with school official responses to last year's Valentine's Day massacre. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Wednesday called for a statewide grand jury to investigate whether school districts are following the laws enacted in the wake of 17 dead. If the Republican governor's request is approved by the Florida Supreme Court, the 18-member grand jury would have the power to call witnesses. Here we go. Call witnesses.
Ooh.
Woo, the lady who saw the man with a funny weapon dressed in full combat gear. That whole Mossad, I believe, SWAT team that went in there.
Okay? Yeah.
Call witness and ultimately return indictments. It would mark yet another probe launch into the aftermath of the shooting of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Broward County. Parents of some of the students who were killed there have been calling for the removal of Broward County school superintendent and some of the local school board members. DeSantis had previously said he concluded he does not have the legal authority to remove the appointed superintendent, but he said the grand jury would bring the needed accountability to the tragedy into this incredibly corrupt county in Florida. I just wanted to add that to what Austin's talking about, because guys, I'm going to say this. I did this a few months ago, and I'm going to say it again. I'm not going to go into the whole spiel because it's not necessary to be redundant. But pretty much every single thing we've been told about almost everything is a lie, including science, including history, including everything. I mean, we got Stanley Kubrick now and all these people coming out and basically saying that the entire Apollo moon program was hoaxed because it was basically a Cold War against Russia as far as the ability to get this man on the moon. Now, personally, I believe that we've been to the moon. I just don't think we did it with Apollo. I think that whole thing was a giant psychop. I believe that World War II, the more I've researched it, and this is going to make a lot of you guys kind of, if you've missed the last 2 weeks of shows, you're going to wonder why I'm saying this. World War II was set up and staged. It was set up and staged from the 1800s, about 1840 on, when the Prime Minister of England said that he wanted a homeland for the Jewish people in Palestine. I mean, this was news to the Jews. I mean, they'd had enough. They'd been happy where they were for centuries. They didn't know why in the world everybody was going to get moved back to Palestine, because the Masonic leaders of that time basically wanted to put together the temple. These guys are all about this temple rebuild, etc. And so you say, well, is that really true? Yeah, that's true. You can go back and look in the history of all this stuff. And what's interesting about the same exact time is when Darby wrote the entire information on the Scofield Bible, which was later copied by Scofield 50 years later and promoted by Samuel Untermyer, who hardcore Zionist, and then brandished as a Supreme Court justice to get us into World War I and to justify our entire involvement in World War I. Then this entire Masonic Lodge group basically changed their form and went into the CFR, which is all put together by the Rothschild banking cartel, which is almost entirely Masonic. And then this goes right into what happened with the League of Nations and Woodrow Wilson and the Federal Reserve Act and the Income Tax Act. And then in 1921, 22, or whatever, Germany was forced to pay all these massive war reparations from World War I, which bankrupted the German people, caused hyperinflation with the Weimar Republic, which caused the seeds of fascism to rise in Germany. And all of this stuff was planned. Then we have this massive, massive influx of all of these, you know, anti-Semitic information and books and everything else, including Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler, a lot of which was written out of Henry Ford's book, you know, talking about the international Jew. And what ends up happening is we have this massive push towards a fascist state in Germany, and then the Jews start leaving Germany by the hundreds of thousands to go to Palestine, which is exactly what they wanted to do. And it's so crazy when you start looking at the actual historical record of what happened of how Germany was used as another pawn in the game to force this massive infiltration into Palestine. Then we've got the Treaty of Yalta, the meeting of Yalta, and they decide to get together. And we have Stalin show up, and Roosevelt shows up, and basically Churchill shows up. And they decide, because they knew they were going to win the war in Germany, how they were going to carve Germany up and carve up Eastern Europe and give it to the Soviets. Okay, here's the newsflash that I've talked about before that most people have not yet comprehended because it's so far out there that I haven't tied it together with what I've taught the last week. Stalin, Churchill, Roosevelt were all high-level Masons. They were all high-level Masonic leaders. They carved up Europe and gave all of these countries that were into Greek Orthodox religion, Russian Orthodox religion, all of these Christian countries, and gave them over to the communist empire. Now think about that for a second. How'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Why did the United States win the World War II and basically defeat the German Nazi machine and then turn around and give half of Europe to the communists when there was no need to do that? It wasn't necessary. They should have been freed and allowed to go back to their respective forms of government. All of this stuff has been set up to force a lot of people into Palestine, to create the Jewish homeworld Israel, again, to reestablish it, and to rebuild the temple, which is going to bring in the Antichrist. And basically, they're going to cut him with the spear of destiny in the inner chamber on the altar. You say, well, no, this is all this more weird stuff. It really doesn't matter. Okay, well, let's talk about it for a second. Here's a breaking news, Israel.com. The Sanhedrin invites 70 nations to Hanukkah dedication of the altar for the third temple. What? Okay. The nascent Sanhedrin released a declaration to the 70 nations for Hanukkah to be read at a ceremony in Jerusalem on the last day of the holiday. The ceremony will include the consecration of a stone altar prepared for the use of the Third Temple for sacrifice. The declaration is intended as an invitation to the nations to participate in the temple and to receive its blessings. You go, well, wow, that's kind of weird. Why would they do all that? Why are we going back to rebuild the temple? Well, let's keep going on with this. Then the Sanhedrin, here's another article. The Sanhedrin calls for nations to observe sexual purity for the role in the third temple. All survive and all those nations that came up against, I can't even pronounce this, Yerushalayim, shall make a pilgrimage year by year to bow low to the King, Lord of Hosts, and to observe the festival of Sukkot. This is Zechariah 14:16. As part of this initiative to establish an organization of 70 nations, listen to this, to replace the United Nations, the Sanhedrin one made a call for the nations to adhere to principles of sexual purity. Rabbi Hillel Weiss, the spokesperson for the Sanhedrin, explained that this was extrapolated from the rabbinic law, which states that there are three sins that a Jew must not choose to martyr himself rather than commit: idolatry, murder, and sexual transgression, which doesn't make any sense because of what they do with abortion. The first two sins are forbidden as part of the Noahide code incumbent upon all mankind. This is from the Talmud. This is from the Talmud, which is not part of the Bible. So we have to realize where this is headed and what they're doing. And then we want to do one more thing. And this is another article, and it says by the numbers, the countries United for Israel membership is now at 5.4 million people. The largest pro-Israel group in the United States is Christian, not Jewish, and it may now outnumber the entire U.S. Jewish population. This is significant because since some believers believe that's the key to the survival of Israel and the Jews lies in the Christian hands. Now, this is interesting to me. Pastor John Hagee, which you guys I know I don't care for, revived the CUFI in the February of 2006 in San Antonio, touting itself as a grassroots organization. Remember, Hagee has said that Jesus was not the Messiah. All of this stuff is to bring this ecumenical movement in. Now, the Muslims being tied into the Christian, or excuse me, the Catholic Church being tied in with the Muslims, the Jews now being tied in with the Christians, all of these religions is all bringing together this one world government. And guys, let me ask you a question. They're taking kids now, little 12-year-old girls who they can't sell on the slave market. They're basically killing them and burying them. They're taking little children that are being born alive. They're 8-pound baby boys and girls and basically deciding if they're going to kill them or not kill them. They're doing all this crazy stuff. They're keeping children alive now, according to another article just came out, for some of these organizations to sell human body parts so they can transfer a live fetus into a surgical suite to remove its heart while it's still alive that was supposedly killed during an abortion procedure. I mean, millions of children disappear every year globally as far as in child trafficking and who knows what else they're doing with these kids. All of this stuff is just making me understand more and more and more that they're going to sacrifice human beings. They're already sacrificing human beings. They're already bringing together groups of people like these weirdos that we just talked about who want to sacrifice humans. And I'm not talking about Christians for Israel. I'm talking about these people are just misled because of the Scofield Bible. But we have to understand, it doesn't matter. And I said this yesterday. I'm going to say it again. it doesn't matter what religion it is. If they're doing something that's weird or aberrant or whatever you want to call it, and something that's not considered societal okay behavior from a Christian standpoint, it's up to Christians to point it out. We have far too long stayed silent in the pulpits and not paid any attention to what's going on. I mean, now we have 70 nations coming together to dedicate a sacrificial altar. I mean, what the heck? We as Christians have to understand something. The temple was torn down because there was no longer a need for sacrifice. God didn't see any point in keeping it, and plus it was in retribution against the Israelites, who were basically sacrificing their children, there we go again, on the altars to Baal and to Moloch and to Asherah. I mean, so it was basically he had enough of this satanic worship inside of the synagogue of Satan group that was there since Genesis chapter 6, that had woven its way all the way through when Jesus called them out for being the children of Lucifer. God had enough of it, so the temple was destroyed. So why are we as Christians coming back in now and saying, let's rebuild the temple? Now, I'm for all the Christians in Israel. I mean, I am. I think it's wonderful that we have Christians over there if they're not getting too hard. I know they're being persecuted. I've been there before. You can't talk to Jews or try to proselytize them, or else you go to jail or get beaten. I mean, so I understand that. If you don't believe me, go over there and try that and see how that works out for you. I'm telling you what happens. And so here's the thing, guys, is that we as Christians need to understand that we don't need to be supporting these efforts. And for 5 million people now, a lot of them, by the way, Southern Baptists, and I go to a Southern Baptist church, and you talk to my Southern Baptist friends about this kind of stuff, they look at you like a calf at a new gate with a blank stare like, what the heck is wrong with you, Ted? You must not read your Bible. No, I don't read my Scofield Bible. I don't even own a Scofield Bible, nor will I buy a Scofield Bible with all of its rhetoric and commentary that's not even based on Scripture. I'm not going to do that. If it's not in the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, I'm done. Remember, the Talmud was written about 600 A.D. The Talmud basically says that Jesus Christ was a demon-possessed sorcerer. Remember, the Old Testament doesn't talk about Jesus by name because he's pointing towards the coming of the Messiah, but it doesn't name who Jesus is going to be. It also, the Talmud says that Mary was basically a whore, a prostitute. I'm not going to support that mess. I mean, why would any Christians knowingly support that? The problem is the Christian universities and the seminaries basically have turned into this giant promoting mess because of the Scofield Bible that was basically published by Samuel Untermyer through the Oxford Press. Again, the same boy who brought us the Federal Reserve Bank, who same guy who basically blackmailed Woodrow Wilson, the same guy who basically, you know, declared war on Germany in 1933. This is the same Samuel Untermyer. Same guy. Guys, wake up. This show is it. No one else talks about it. Nobody else that I've heard ties it together like this. It's all about rebuilding the temple. I talked to one of my show guests that we've had on many times on the show, and he's still just an absolute adamant pro-Trump supporter. That's why I will not bring him back on the show. And now I find out that he has political ambitions, which is okay, and that's why he's trying to stay on the pro-Trump bandwagon, because he wants to run for president, you know, in the place of Donald Trump. And I explained to him this morning, I said, this is not about Donald Trump. This is about the Donald Trump movement, about all of us that are waking up, have seen the truth, and we want to continue to do what's right in God's eyes. And I said, until Donald Trump gets rid of Jared Kushner, who is a hardcore Shabbatist, who basically believes in the Kabbalah, in the worship of fallen angels, until he gets rid of him, who basically is promoting a worldwide genocide for World War III and the rebuilding of the temple, until he gets rid of that clown, I'm not really going to be a pro-Trump supportee. I mean, now we got pro-Trump. Now Trump's running around trying to take guns. This reminds me of what Bush did, Austin. The Christians basically, because George W. claimed to be a Christian, though he was skull and bones, which means he had to get in a casket, get born again out of a casket, and do who knows what in this casket, supposedly with another guy. I mean, you got him talking about this sick stuff. He's a born-again Christian. He's born again. What does that mean? Anybody can claim anything. You know, guys, here's the thing. You know, your walk has to talk more than your talks. And all these guys are ridiculous. I mean, George Bush brought us the Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, and all these horrible things now that have run amok and taken control of our government and basically put us into a state of basically of tyranny in the United States. And it gets worse and worse with each succeeding president. I mean, Donald Trump hasn't got rid of the National Defense Authorization Act. He hasn't got rid of the Patriot Act. He could have just not signed all that stuff back in law again. Hadn't done any of that stuff. He signs it, continues to fund Planned Parenthood, and runs out of his mouth. I'm pro-life. Yeah, I'm giving $500 million to Planned Parenthood this year. What the heck, man?
Yeah.
You know, then Donald Trump comes up when he was running for election. He goes, I'll be better pro-gay president than Hillary would ever think about me, and I am pro-gay. Well, none of this makes any sense. The guy's got, like, the Bible says, how can salt water and fresh water come from the same spring? It's nonsense, Austin. And so we have to understand what's going on, who's doing it, why they're doing it, and what the CFR really is, which I've talked about over and over and over again, and who these groups are, and why Trump has more CFR members in his administration than Barack Obama did. I mean, it's ridiculous, Austin. What do you think, and what's your next story?
No, there's no question about it. It's definitely pretty strange. Also, too, in other news, as we see California go further and further down the hole because of this communist control that's taken over the state, that's always ironic to me. When I hear people talk about, you know, you hear some of these hardcore Democrats sometimes talk about how awesome California is and how, you know, everything needs to be like California, and California is basically, you know, going out and they're the leaders and all this different stuff. And then you look at it and they're like top poverty, almost top crime, top welfare, top illegal immigration, top debt, top insolvency. I mean, everything. They're like the absolute worst state in the whole country. The only saving grace they still have there is a significant portion of the population makes really good money, and they're still willing to give up a massive amount of their money in state income tax every year. And that's the only reason they've even moderately managed to stay halfway afloat. Other than when you start looking at the pension programs and everything else out there, they're so far down the hole, it's ridiculous. But now, that's not just their only problem. As rats, public defecation, and open drug use become more and more rampant in major cities, including L.A., they're starting to have a significant problem with fleas and typhus in Los Angeles now. We've talked about this a couple times, but the problem's not going away. They said now in Los Angeles, with poor public sanitation due to the massive amount of homeless and illegal immigrants, rats are breeding like mad, and they are starting to spread typhus, and now the whole city has a significant flea problem. According to that, Los Angeles City Hall has now been infested with fleas. Officials at Los Angeles City Hall now are saying that they need to budget in ripping out all of the building's carpet as rats and fleas are running riot in the halls. A motion was filed by the council president Herb Wesson on Wednesday to enact a need for a makeover amid a typhus outbreak in the downtown area. Wesson said a city employee now has contracted a deadly bacterial disease at work, and he's now urging officials to investigate the scope of the long-running pest problem. The number of homeless has been rising about 20% per year. Public drug use is everywhere, and there are mountains of trash, needles, and feces that literally don't seem to stop anymore. But they're a sanctuary state. They're a big old sanctuary state. Congratulations to them. And what's ironic about this is we've seen so many people move to Colorado from California over the last decade, and now Denver, Colorado, is starting to turn in the exact same thing now. Listen to this. I saw this article. This is from almost a year and a half ago, and this went totally under the radar, but a lot of the officials that have left California are now in Denver. Denver City Council a year and a half ago has then voted unanimously to decriminalize a number of offenses, including defecating in public, camping on private land without permission, panhandling, and lying across public right-of-ways like sidewalks. Apparently what happened was they had such an issue with individuals that were illegal aliens that couldn't read, couldn't figure out how to do things. The city leaders said that immigrant right advocates argued the changes will protect Denver's immigrant community from facing unintended consequences. That's what they say. Many times it becomes a deportable offense if you've been convicted of even a minor ordinance violation that's punishable by a year in jail. So they go on to say now that there's no fine for a lot of these offenses now. Basically lying across sidewalks, panhandling, urinating and defecating in public, camping on private land without permission. So this is what the Democrats do. This is what the communist agenda pushes. And this is why everybody has to understand that we're being sold a lie. When if you actually believe what they're trying to say with the socialist agenda, with this Green Deal agenda that they're trying to push, it's it's all lies. And you have to wake up people as much as possible and make them realize exactly what is going on. We've seen this gone rampant in Germany now, where the migrant problem over there is non-stopping. Another article just popped up from Klaus Roth, who's 74 years old, who's now been notified to vacate his apartment with his wife to make room for refugees that will replace him in his apartment complex. He said he has lived there for over 24 years, put a significant amount of money renovating it. They said now him and his wife have been offered a replacement dwelling half the size of their current abode for the same cost. He actually, Roth, had an extensive record of activism and service in the community, including volunteering to aid and welcome refugees, approximately 40 of which have already been resettled in his tiny town. Now with migrant housing reported filled to the max, officials have decided Roth's six-room, 150-square-meter apartment would be perfect for a large group of asylum seekers. Roth seems to go, we are under pressure and need to take in more refugees, is what the mayor said. There's no way to say that we cannot accommodate them. Of course you can't say we're not going to accommodate them. Roth's eviction in favor of migrants is just the latest in the growing list of similar incidences. So what we're starting to see globally, we've seen this in California, we're starting to see this in Denver, we've seen this in numerous countries in Europe now, including Germany, is that this United Nations push isn't just for pushing socialism and this Green Deal and control of all the resources. It's also about putting third world migrants ahead of the actual citizens of those countries so you can turn those citizens into minorities and in turn make the migrants top tier citizens of the country, because these individuals, when they come into this country and they're given free housing, free food, free welfare, free health insurance, free cell phones, free money, free everything, they're going to continue to vote to keep you in power, and they're going to continue to allow this socialist agenda to be put into place. So it's very sad to see this, but again, we have to continue to stand up for our rights. And also, to back to what Dad said earlier, I am so happy we got DeSantis in Florida. I'm just going to go back on the record stating that right now. That guy is awesome. I was very pleased with a lot of stuff he's done now, and the fact that he is calling out the Parkland shooting and is basically trying to get a full investigation into them, that is exceptional to me. And it's ironic that David Hogg crawled out of his hole from CNN on Tuesday, and Wednesday DeSantis came out and said that basically they're doing a full investigation into it. That tells me that they're going to do everything they can to try to cover up what happened down there, especially now the Sheriff Israel is out of the picture since DeSantis has relieved him of his duty, that there's going to be a lot of things going on right now that people don't want to come out. So be sure we'll be down here in Florida keeping you guys well informed of everything that's going on right now, because I'm pretty confident after his comment that Dog made and what DeSantis is doing now, they're going to try to do damage control, Deb.
They're probably going to do another false flag, Austin. I hope and pray that doesn't happen. And quite frankly, you don't know what in the world they really do in these false flags. All I know is Sheriff Israel was as absolutely corrupt as they get. For DeSantis to throw Israel out of office,
yeah,
I can just say I applaud you, DeSantis, on this show right now. If you ever listen to this show, or one of your reps are listening to this show, or your people are listening to the show, listen to this show. We'll tell you what's going on. But for what you to get rid of that corrupt Israel, and then a Shabbat sect sees this guy walking down the street on one of their cameras and calls the police, whatever. If anybody believes this nonsense, you know, they about as well as that guy with a noose around his neck in Chicago. All a bunch of made-up garbage is all it is. I want to give you some information real quick. The Yalta Conference, it happened from February the 4th to the 11th in 1945. And Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin, all high-level Masons, were there. And then they decided how to do this, shape the post-World War peace and the Europe right there. This whole conference afterwards was said, hey, this is nuts. Why did this happen? And why in the world did the Soviet Union get half of Europe? Just a question to ask. Now, what's also interesting about this, Roosevelt couldn't attend the final conference because he was too sick, and basically Harry S. Truman took over for the White House. And here's the interesting thing about that. He was also a high-level Mason and started his own lodge. You think, oh, well, this is just coincidence. No, it's not. These guys are all part of the problem. I mean, if you look at the Midnight for Masons, remember, Truman is the one who dropped the bomb. Remember? Harry S. Truman was born 1884 in Missouri to John and Martha Truman. His parents gave him the middle name S. both after his parents, whatever, Truman worked on the family farm, and then the events of World War I greatly transformed Truman and brought his light to his great leadership skills. Whatever! Okay, this guy is the one who dropped the bomb on Japan. You can see him online in all of his Masonic regalia, all of his robes, all of his buttons, all of his stuff. I mean, think through this for a second. They meet in February. Then right after that, Winston Churchill said, I want all-out war. I want the bombing of women and children in Germany. I want Germany totally destroyed. And he did. Right after this doggone Yalta conference, he came in and bombed Dresden and killed 500,000 people. Some estimates are up to that high. Unbelievable. Half the population of the city disappears. Almost all refugees, women and children and old men. No armaments, no building of any military stuff there. It was one of the best and most beautiful Baroque cities in Europe. He wanted all-out war. Then you got the other nut, Hitler, who goes, we'll fight to the last German. We'll fight to the last child. We'll fight with the Hitler Youth. We'll kill everybody. And he did that, too. And then if it wasn't enough, Truman comes in and starves with Eisenhower over a million, close to 2 million soldiers to death in camps and kills another 10 to 15 million through the Morgenthau Doctrine over the next 7 years. This is what they did. And as Churchill had said back in the 30s, 20s, or 30s, that they did not want to have to compete against Germany as an industrial powerhouse, and that the German people needed to get wiped out because they were warmongers. Whatever! Whatever! I mean, all of this stuff is about human sacrifice. You've got to remember that Winston Churchill was not only a Mason, he was a Druid. He was a Druid in a Druid sacrificial rituals. He was a Druid. And, you know, you think, well, wow, this is kind of crazy. Well, yeah, human sacrifice, whatever. I personally believe that Dresden and 9/11 both were giant human sacrificial rituals to appease God or Baal or whatever the heck they're worshiping this week. I mean, that's what I believe these things were. You think, well, that sounds crazy. I didn't say it didn't sound crazy. I'm just telling you, none of this stuff makes any sense from a political standpoint. Why do you want to drop huge nuclear bombs on Japan? Just see what you can do. But if you're going to sacrifice to Baal or to Moloch, and you say, we're going to have a giant bloodletting ritual right now, we're going to kill 150,000 with each of these weapons, yeah, whatever. And then we find out, if you read the book by Jim Mars, The Fourth Reich, Jim Mars says that the United States could not get the detonators to work properly for the nuclear bombs, and they used the German detonators they took after World War II to basically arm their own weapons because they were the German weapons that had been developed that Hitler refused to drop on the Allies, that they were able to now drop on Japan. And suddenly Hitler gets the e-ticket out of doggone Germany, ends up in Argentina or wherever he went, and basically runs around for 20 or 30 more years, a bunch of photos being taken of him, and he's okay, and he basically says he wanted, you know, the German people to fight to the last person. I mean, what the heck? All of this stuff, guys, is smoke and mirrors. We've been played like a doggone cheap fiddle. It's so true, William Guy Carr, in the book that he wrote, Pawns in the Game. It's all about these interdimensional entities or whatever the heck they are, basically orchestrating world events and manipulating us as humans for what? As Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who he may devour? I mean, what the heck? Are we all getting devoured by some interdimensional entity as far as our energy signatures and our souls? How do we feed these things? Something's not right, guys. Pretty much everything we've been told is a lie. And forgive me for why I want to cover this Treaty of Yalta with you guys, because I've not talked about it on the show before, and I didn't tell you except a few years ago that all these guys were Freemasons. Austin, what do you think, and what's your next story, bud?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. It's definitely some weird stuff. Also, too, in other news, you guys know I had brought up numerous occasions in the past about California's high-speed rail project that was basically going from North California to South California or vice versa. And it was essentially an abysmal failure. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars were already sunk into it. Billions of dollars were funded into it from the federal government. And essentially, nothing's happened with it. It's been totally defunct. Now, President Donald Trump demanded Wednesday evening that the state of California return the $3.5 billion in federal funds after Governor Gavin Newsom has fully canceled most of the state's high-speed rail project, saying it was too expensive. California said they are now forced to cancel the massive bullet train project after spent and wasted many billions of dollars, the president tweeted. They owe the federal government $3.5 billion. We want that money back now. The whole project was a green disaster. Newsom's responded that it was California's money now, and they essentially had no intent on giving back the money to the federal government. This again reeks of just like what I talked to you guys about yesterday with Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law when he gets almost a $1 billion grant from the United States government for their electrical solar green deal out west, Midwest, and it turns around and the whole thing goes completely sideways. Obama signs in billions of dollars of funding and grants. The money goes nowhere. The system goes nowhere. It's an abysmal failure. And everybody goes, well, whoops, we don't know what happened. Sorry that $3.5 billion just kind of evaporated in the thin air. We were supposed to use it for a railway, but whoops, it just disappeared. We don't know what to do with it now. We don't have the money for the railway anyway, so sorry about your luck. Guys, there has to be some type of accountability with all this money. This is one of the biggest pet peeves of mine that we have seen, is that once we have allowed these bankers, once we have allowed these unbelievably corrupt users of money, there's always just usury, and we allow them to control our money supply, and we hand them billions upon trillions of dollars, and we say, okay, manage our money, handle it correctly, and they do this kind of stuff, and then we turn around and say, okay, we'll give you some more money now. We hope you don't do us like you did the last time, and they do it again. Guys, how many times do we have to be used by the bankers? How many times do we have to have our money stolen from us? How many times do we have to see billions upon trillions of our hard-earned dollars that the American population works so hard for literally go down the drain to be wasted, blown, completely evaporated, or handed off to the upper elite bureaucrats in Washington so they can be upwards of $200 billion net worth when they make $180,000 a year? These are things that have to start being addressed, and this is something that our founding fathers have said so many times. When you allow the bankers, when you allow the money changers, when you allow the money lenders, when you allow these people that are straight users of money, and you allow them to come in and start dictating what they can and can't do with your money, the only way to stop it is to cut the head off the snake and to stop giving them money. So just something frustrating for me to see, because California is an abysmal failure of a state.
It is.
And now seeing these guys blow $3.5 billion and refuse to give it back after they cancel this train deal is, other in my opinion, nothing short of treasonous. That money went somewhere, and it's the federal government's money.
I agree with you, Austin. And what's funny, last night, you know, we were driving down south, and you know, I was having to go out of the way. And you know, years ago, we had a program called the Polk Parkway that was supposed to take you all the way from Interstate 4 to Highway 60, right through Polk County where we live. And they suddenly decide, after they bought all the land, spent all the money, that they weren't going to do it anymore. And there's no excuse. They just didn't do it. And I told Sharon last night, I said, if we had the Polk Parkway now, we could take it all the way down Highway 60, cut straight across to Vero and come south. It'd be so much faster. And I said, but they don't want us to do that. They want to do what they want to do regardless of what they tell us they're going to do. It's sad to me. By the way, make El Chapo pay for the wall. Ted Cruz urges Senate to pass a bill so the convicted Mexican drug barons $14 billion in ill-gotten gains, which have been seized by the United States government, can be used to finance border security. Newsflash for all you Ted Cruz lovers and all the folks that think that's a good idea, which I do too. That $14 billion is long gone. It has gone into deep state black ops and is basically probably being used to continue to fund the CIA with all of their illicit drug trafficking. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. You guys are absolutely awesome. Thanks for listening today. Appreciate it. Hope you don't mind me giving you this little – appreciate you allowing me to give you a little history lesson. I had the opportunity to pray for you again. You guys are awesome. I love you. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting us – you know, getting your multiple vitamins from us. Right now there's some FDA, by the way, Gottlieb's coming out now, is saying that he's going to crack down on supplement manufacturers and salespeople, and specifically listed some of the alternative talk show hosts that are selling products that they claimed aren't what they say they are on the label, which, by the way, was not us. All of our supplements are manufactured that we have our Health Master label on at an FDA-registered full drug laboratory with full total FDA oversight to make sure that what we say on our labels is in that product. Yep. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Austin, let's finish it up. I'll do the write-up, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. And, yes, guys, thank you for the support. And like Ted said, I mean, with our FDA-approved laboratory that we use, that's why we started using them years and years and years ago, because there are so many unsavory companies on the market that, in my opinion, produce garbage, especially when you have a lot of these companies that put stuff in droppers, or they put stuff in water suspension or alcohol suspension without any type of true assay testing or nutritional testing on it, because that's a very, very common tactic that a lot lot of companies do, because it's super easy, it's cheap, and you don't even need a laboratory. You can simply drop a powder solution and put it in a water or alcohol solvent and put it in the suspension right in your kitchen, and then fill up little jars with droppers on it and then turn around and put a wrap on it. These things are not, in my opinion, legitimate at all. And there's certain things that people have to understand that you have to continue to do to make sure you're getting quality supplements in your body, and that is buying them from a reputable company. Also, too, I have a lot of people that send me emails on a regular basis and ask me to give them my opinion on other companies' supplements. And most of the time, I decline, quite frankly, because I don't have the time to go and look at so many other companies' supplements. But just to give you a few things to look for, and this is just a few tidbits. A, always make sure on any supplement that they're using methylated B12, methylcobalamin B12. And a lot of people say, well, what's the big deal with that? Methylated B12 is incredibly easy to absorb compared to cyanide cobalamin, which is the synthetic, harder to digest, harder to assimilate, harder to absorb form. Now, it's not the end-all be-all by saying, oh, that one has cyanide cobalamin, this one has methylcobalamin, it's going to make a huge difference in your life. Yes, methylated B12 will play a significant role in increasing your B12 levels in your body. That's why we have the sublingual B12 straight tablet form. A lot of individuals that have been able to use that and not even use the injections anymore and get B12 levels much, much higher. But the reason why I say this is because B12 methylated, the methylcobalamin B12, is about 4 times more expensive in the raw form than cyanide cobalamin, the synthetic form. If you have a company that's claiming to be a high-quality nutraceutical company, you have a company that's out there claiming that they do this with their supplements, and they do this, and they do that, and they're incredibly awesome, incredibly high quality, and they still use cyanide cobalamin B12 in their formula, what makes you believe anything else they're saying if they don't even want to use a high methylated absorbable version of B12 and they go the synthetic formula? That shows you right off the rip that they're already compromising on their ingredient quality and their raw quality with something as simple as methylated B12. So that's something that you really have to look at right off the top. If you have a company that's claiming to be all this and all that, and they're incredibly clean, incredibly effective, and they use cyanide cobalamin B12, throw it in the trash, in my opinion, because it's garbage. Secondly, companies that like to use proprietary blends or blend formulas in every single one of their products. Majority of companies do this now. The reason why they do this is because there is no accountability for how much of those ingredients are in the product. There's only, I think, 2 formulas that we have that have a proprietary blend, and the only reason we have used them is because that blend of specific nutrients took a very long time to formulate and has a very, very, very effective result when you have it in that formula. But when you see companies and they have a blend and it's got turmeric and ashwagandha and kiwi extract and watermelon extract and watercress and all this other different stuff in it, it's kind of like, this isn't a proprietary blend. There's nothing proprietary about this. You're just compiling a bunch of nutrients that some of them may be high quality into a blend of 2,500 milligrams in this custom blend. Well, how much of it are you getting? Are you getting 2,000 milligrams of turmeric and 500 milligrams of ashwagandha and, you know, 2 milligrams of these fruit extracts? What are you getting? There is no legitimate way to know, and there is no accountability to actually find out, because the company does not have to disclose anything to you on their blends. They can literally put 1 milligram of turmeric force in that formula out of the 2,500 milligrams, say it has turmeric on the label now, put the rest of it in watermelon kiwi extract, which is nothing, fruit extract. Go eat a kiwi, go eat a watermelon. And then say it's got 2,500 milligrams. So be very cautious of that in these formulas that you see with these huge fancy blends, and they have these big names, clean products. It looks like they have a good couple nutrients in that blend, but then you go, well, how much am I actually getting? There's no way to have any idea whatsoever. And again, that is why we do what we do on all of our products. You see exactly what we have in it, all the way down to the exact form that is in our supplements, and that is why our products work so well. So I encourage you, if you see something on the website, compare our products. Look at the dosage. Look at the ingredients, but compare apples to apples. If you have a product that has a custom blend of 3,000 milligrams and a laundry list of nutrients, and you can't even figure out what a single milligram dosage is, and cyanide, cobalamin's the B12 they use in it, I can tell you right now, it's a garbage product, and there's no reason to waste your money on it anymore. I'll be that bold and direct with you. But of course, do your own research, compare your own products, look at everything, and make your own decision on it. That's why we do the best we can at Health Masters to try to be as transparent as possible with all of our nutrients, all of our ingredients. And I tell anybody, if you want a third-party assay test on any of our supplements, by all means, do so. I am 100% confident you will get the exact doses, the exact ratio, because we use an FDA-approved laboratory, and that's the exact reason why. Because when Dad and I started putting a lot of this stuff together, I said, I don't want there to be any question of what's in our products. I want it to be 100% transparent. I don't want anybody being able to come back and say, well, this is that, and that's this, and this doesn't have that. Nope. This is exactly what we use. This is why we put it in here. Here it is on Nutritional Facts. Test it if you want to even be sure for yourself. I stand by it 100%. That is why we have a 90-day money-back guarantee on our supplements. Very, very rare in our industry. Very rare in our industry. Hardly anybody does that whatsoever. It's usually 30 days. 90 days, you take our product, you're not happy with them, send them back. We'll give you a refund. We'll give you a store credit. We'll swap it out for something else that you want. We'll make you happy, because that is the whole goal of Health Masters, is to try to do the best we can to provide you with the highest quality supplements in the world. And there's no way for us to do that if we don't stand behind our products 110%. So thank you for all the support, and thank you for everything you guys have done for us. Also, too, one last story news real quick to get it in. I saw this. Dad talked about it briefly, but I wanted to touch base on it real fast because I thought it was pretty cool. Researchers at Mexico's National Polytechnic Institute are celebrating a major scientific achievement, a new treatment they claim completely cures HPV. Why haven't we heard about this in mainstream media? Because this doesn't go along with the HPV Gardasil vaccination plan that they're trying to do. Now, if they have a new plan led by scientist Eva Remen Galaz, the team was able to eradicate HPV in 29 patients through a non-invasive technique known as photodynamic therapy. The treatment involves the use of a drug called a photosynthesizer alongside a wavelength of light used to treat affected areas of the body. The team's accomplishment is being hailed as a major breakthrough, especially because of the complete lack of any known side effects or damage to those who've undergone the therapy. About this research, they said the therapy does not have any collateral damage to the body, meaning it has zero side effects. Oh, imagine that. We can cure HPV now. I guess there's no need for HPV Gardasil vaccination anymore, right? Right? I still hear crickets from the pharmaceutical vaccine industrial complex. They don't want this stuff getting out because they want to continue to push their HPV scare propaganda to try to force the population into vaccinating their children with the HPV vaccine, which is incredibly toxic and in some cases deadly. Don't put that stuff in your body. Don't allow it to be put in your children's body. Stay awake, stay frosty, be prepared for anything that's going on right now, my friends. I promise you there is something on the horizon. You can see it when you start adding all this stuff up together, as we're seeing in Florida right now with the incidents that we've talked about from the last couple days. Be prepared and be ready for anything that happens. That's why I always say, keep a bag on you. Make sure you always stay prepared for every situation. Thank you guys for your support. We appreciate everything you do. Email us or call us if you need anything at all, healthmasters.com. I hope you guys enjoyed my segment on the Hagmann Show last night with Joe. We went back and forth for about an hour on various topics. It was a fun show last night. I like going on this show for a little bit. And we'll be back on again their show Friday as well. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you. You have an awesome day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.